Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I have James Gall with me. And the subject today is dream big. That's right. We want you to dream big in Jesus, because all things are possible to those who believe.
Who believe.
And James, I know that we're both prophetic ministers. Yeah. And as those who can see, according to God's perspective, you can always tell that a person has way more inside of them, what God's created them for, than what they're walking in usually.
Yeah, absolutely. In that dimension of the prophetic, you see to the potential. And that's what I try to do is over the years learn, is I look beyond the natural and I look into the spirit realm and I look to the prophetic potential. And that's where deep calls to deep, and you call that destiny forth.
Amen. And you know, I think the reason why a lot of people are what I would call maybe underachievers, in other words, they don't have the fruit in their life that
sure.
they could have, is because they haven't dared to dream and then put application to that.
No, it's absolutely true.
And sometimes as a prophetic minister, which we're going to prophesy some destiny
awesome.
Words later, and I know that our viewers, some of them are going to, I mean, they're going to be astounded by what God's going to say
That's
over
great.
Them. But sometimes a prophetic word will unlock that potential. But
yeah.
even if you can see it, mm-hmm. you still have to activate it.
You can still have to flesh it out. I call it, you know, we got to go from just receiving a word and giving a word to becoming a word.
Right.
And there's only one who
like
was
that.
The Word of God, who was incarnate, that became flesh as Jesus. And yet we've got to move from in revelational Christianity into incarnational Christianity, where we flesh it out.
Come
the
on.
Dream takes on flesh, and guess what? We are the dream.
Come on. I want to address our viewers right now and just say, would you just take a moment to just almost like take a deep breath and say, oh God, I want to go beyond where I am right now, because there's something going on. I just feel a realm of authority in the spirit on this program that is going to launch you into a greater level of fullness than what you've ever walked in before. Jesus said that if we would abide in him and his word abides in us, then we would bear fruit. And we could ask the Father for like anything inside of that zone of communion with Jesus. And so he said, all things are possible, only believe. You're about ready to launch into the reality of your dreams, the experience of your dreams, the encounter of that which you've only dreamt about. And some of you haven't even begun to dream according to the fullness of what God wants to give you. So just go for it right now and say, yes, Jesus, I want to go beyond where I am now. And it doesn't matter where you've been
That's right.
in your past. Right, James? It doesn't
That's
matter.
Right.
They can start afresh today. If they had a rotten past, everything went wrong. Failures right, left, and center. Today is a new day.
Today's day of salvation. Romans 8. I hang my hat on that one almost like every week. All things work together for good.
Come on.
For those who love God and have been called to his purpose. So if there's people out there watching, just like you and me, and you know you've made a few little messes along the way and some big ones, mm-hmm. guess what? God's not nervous, wringing his hands and going, oh, I just can't figure out a plan for you. You screwed it up so bad, I just don't know. Guess what? He's a big God, and your problems are bitty, itty, bitty, 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 bitty.
You've got to squint to look at them in
yeah.
comparison to how big he is.
To and how
there's,
big God
there's
is.
Nothing that we can't handle
That's
in
right.
him. You know, I love to dream. I'm a visionary,
yeah,
so I
right.
love receiving visions from the Lord. But receiving a vision in itself isn't everything. There's
yeah.
lots of people that have lots of vision and lots of dreams and yet never have them realized. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
You were sharing with me earlier about your own earthly father, about being a businessman, I suppose, in Canada and mm-hmm. everything, and from and some significant principles. Would you mind unpacking that? That was
yeah,
so awesome.
Well, my father, I just admire him so much, and he's you know, a person who I deeply respect and love. But his heart in life was always to see people, you know,
yeah.
Fulfill their potential. He's a big giver and just
awesome.
Loves to support people. And so his secular work was in success motivation for businesses and business people. And he used to tell us all the time, and this was a phrase that he used in his business, that anything that you vividly imagine, in other words, what you dream about, anything that you vividly imagine and ardently desire, which means, you know, it's one thing to dream, but you got to want it. And how bad do you want it? You know, want it with a fullness of passion. So anything you vividly imagine, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon will inevitably come to pass.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing, because there's a few practical points that's in there that sometimes we skip or we miss out on, and we might dream big, but we haven't even put any practical steps to it whatsoever.
Right.
And if you aim at nothing, guess what? You hit it.
I remember, James, a number of years ago, I was trying to help a young man come into his, you know, just a place of clarity as to what his call was. And so I said, well, let's just examine your gifts. What are you operating in right now? And so there was a few things that, you know, very few things, but there's a few things. And I said, well, what's the desire of your heart? And he said, well, I saw someone preaching, and I'd like to be like that. And I said, well, that's a good dream, because God says we're to proclaim the word. And so how badly would you like that? How much do you desire
Right.
Do you desire it enough to put preparation to and to put some action to it? Do you desire it enough to, let's say, prepare messages, or to go out on the street and proclaim the goodness of God, you know, when no one else is looking? Is it really part of a true desire that you really, really want to do this? Or is it just like a dream? Is it just a fleeting thought?
Or is it a is it a fantasy?
Exactly. And he wasn't too sure.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I know he's not ever going to see that dream fulfilled because he doesn't desire it passionately enough. Now, on the other hand, there was another gal that came to work with us. In fact, she's on staff right now, a new believer. And she came out to some sessions, got powerfully touched by God, and she had a desire to grow into the things like what I'm walking in.
Absolutely.
And she would look at my life and other people on the team's life, and she said, oh, I would just do that. And she was a professional gal. She she had a career as a teacher and a social worker and that. But she just so wanted to serve God in a preaching capacity, reaching out and helping people fulfill their destiny. And so she came to me and she said, would you mentor me? And I said, well, what's your dream? And she said, well, I want to be out on the streets just like you. I want to go and win souls to the Lord. And so I gave her a few little tips, because I could tell that she had a vision, but she also had this passionate desire. And I said, well, you work in the school right now. Just go out there. So she got a little bit of training from us, from our team. And she went into the school and won 30 kids to the Lord within 3 days, I think it was.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I thought, well, that's a lot of vision, but it's also a lot of desire fulfilled. She enthusiastically acted upon it.
That's awesome.
And then now she's on staff. And she just came on an internship first. And I would give her these projects to do every week, and she'd come back and she would always go the extra mile. Now she's walking in the destiny. I mean, she's out there. She's winning more souls than I am.
That's
she's prophesying
awesome.
Better than I am. And it's a wonderful thing to see.
That's great.
But what she did is she vividly imagined or vividly had a dream. And then she ardently desired. She had a passionate desire. And then she enthusiastically acted upon it, and
that's
it came to pass.
Amen. You know, this sort of sounds like the book of James, where our works match our faith. And, you know, and you got to do that. I call it putting up scaffolding, you know, to pour the cement into. And then soon after it sets up, you can remove the scaffolding because it's set up. But you've got to sometimes, you got to put a plan in place.
Amen.
You know, I got these four kids, and they dream big because their mommy and their daddy have taught them go for their passions.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
On.
And they've got big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But they are living their dreams today.
Yes, come on.
And it's so awesome. But you have to help empower them.
That's right. And we have to help each other in the body, and parents especially have to help children.
Right.
But it doesn't matter what age you're at, you
That's
can do
right.
it. Ron and I have two sons, and they're grown up now. But when they were around 11 and 12 years old, both of them had the same desire. They had a dream, and that dream was that they wanted to drive a car. They wanted a car. So Ron and I said to them, okay, when you're 16, which was a legal age in Canada, you can get your license. Yeah. But before you are going to get your license, you have to own your own car.
Wow.
Not only that, you have to buy your own insurance, you have to pay for your own upkeep, and you have to pay for your own gas. Everything about that,
honey,
you have to look
after. Honey, where were you? I needed to hear this a long time
ago.
So
they took on the challenge. I said, so you're 12
That's great.
You've got 4 years to get this in order. And if you want it bad enough, you can have it. We will sign for you at age 16 if you can be responsible to put these other things in place.
That's great.
Well, I had friends of mine who were parents also, and they said, that's impossible, especially in this day and age. Kids can't do that. It's too much money. And I said, you just watch them do it.
That's awesome.
I believe if you have a dream and if you desire it bad enough, and you're willing to act upon it, it will come to pass.
Absolutely.
Do you know that both my boys, on the morning of their 16th birthday, we took them both to go get their driver's license. Why? They both had a car sitting in the driveway on that day. All the insurance paid, all the driver's lessons paid, everything paid for it.
Come
and they were willing to take on the responsibility. And it was as simple as that.
They
had a desire. They were enthusiastic about it. They were willing to act upon it, and it came to pass.
And there were others in their lives that helped and be Barnabases, encouragers, to that they could have their dream.
Amen. You know, I don't know where you're at specifically, but I do know this. I know where God's at, and I know that He's just waiting to see people's dreams fulfilled. And He's on your side with it. He wants to give you inspiration. He wants to give you wisdom and strategies to seeing it all come to pass. And it doesn't matter if you had a great parent who helped you
along,
or mentors along the way. I hear people all the time say, well, if only I had a mentor. I don't have any mentors. Well, you have the Holy Spirit. He's your mentor. And you just have to get rid of every excuse you've ever spoken. Well, it's because of this I can't do this, or because of that. You just move all those excuses out of the way and lay hold of the dream that God has put in your heart. Why? Because all things are possible if you'll just believe. All things are possible if you'll get a hold of that dream and allow the passion to rise up and act upon that. It will come to pass. We'll be right back. Well, we're back again talking about dreaming big. You know, James, this whole subject of Dream Big, because I've got a book called Dream Big. But the whole subject was a passion of mine, actually, for my generation, those in the second half of life.
That's right.
And I just saw so many of my generation floundering.
Right. Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, it was almost like they were seeing their lives like as an hourglass with sand going through it.
Right.
And time was slipping by. And
they hit tip into retirement, and they think it's retirement instead of refirement and
And it was just like some were disillusioned and others had kind of finished their race, it seemed. I thought there's so much more because the best years are ahead.
Absolutely.
So I'm committed to this generation, my generation, your generation, those in the second half of life, just accelerating beyond anything we could ever imagine. Because the second half of life is the better half of life.
I totally believe it.
But anyway, so that's how the subject really got stirring in me, was through that passion. But I realized this is for everyone.
It's all people.
And Jesus said, I came that you would have an abundant life, not a lean life, not a
boring life.
That's boring or unfulfilled dreams, you know. And in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says this of God, now unto Him is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us.
That works within us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think.
We can't dream big enough, in other words.
Awesome.
We can't dream big enough because we serve a God who is able to fulfill it all if we'll just press in. There's always like messages saying, oh, I can't do this because, or or this will never happen because, or I lost my window of time, so that will never happen. But God's a redeemer of the time.
And Moses gave his excuses, and he said, I stutter.
Right.
Well, so what did Moses do? He did meet him where he was at, and he gave him Aaron to be his mouthpiece, who was clear and articulate. And even in the places of our weakness, when we don't allow those to be our ceiling or our cap or our limitation, God will send help. And even those around us who are better at us, specific, to help us fulfill the vision.
Exactly. And I'm committed to that in prayer. Yeah. I just want to see the whole body of Christ move forward. Can you imagine what it would look if the whole body of Christ started dreaming big and inviting God to fulfill those dreams? Oh, the whole world would be filled
dream
with His
big.
Glory.
Dream big, dream big, dream big, dream big.
Amen.
We just speaking to you right now in the name of Jesus. In fact, mm-hmm. if you think that you've got God in a box, I got a word for you. God dwelled in a box once. It was called the Ark of Covenant. And when He burst out of that thing, He's never been in a box again. And God's not in a box. If anyone's in a box, we're the ones who are in a box. And we need a jailbreak. We need to break out of our mindsets. Because as a man thinks, so is he. And so much of this deals with how young are you anyway? Mm-hmm. And you're as young as you think. And I got a word for some of you youngsters, you young next generation out there, dream big. We got a word for our middle generation. And I want to say dream big. And we got a word for grandma's and grandpa's generation out there. And we want to say to you, dream huge.
Amen. Now, there's some practical principles.
Yes, there
sometimes
is.
I think, I'm a prophetic person. I love the glory realm. I love the supernatural realm. But there's also very practical things that have to be accomplished or stepped into in order for dreams to be fulfilled. And one of the things that my father taught me growing up was a study that I think it was Yale or Harvard had done. And they had done a survey of a whole bunch of successful people, highly successful people. They were looking for what is the common denominator here?
Right.
What do they all have that's the same? And what they found was all of them had clearly defined goals that were written down.
Absolutely,
and a plan of action to fulfill those goals that was written down.
Yeah.
Now, God, He has some goals and He wrote them down, and He wrote down everything He did and is going to do.
That's right.
And He had a plan of action in Christ, which He fulfilled, but it was written down in the prophets of old before it was ever fulfilled in the New Testament.
And He tells us in the book of Habakkuk that we are to write down the vision and scribe it on tablets that those who read it can run with it. And you know, when sometimes you're given, we as individuals or a collective group of people are given such a big dream that it is more than just about our life.
Yeah.
And so it's so important to write it down so that those who read it, because somebody's going to read your dream, your vision, if you'll write it down, and they're going to go, oh, I want to be a part of that too, because those who read it will run.
That's it. And the more dreams you fulfill, the more inspiration it gives to those around you as well. It gets contagious.
That's right.
When you're
around people with dreams.
When you get around a dream company, that's what we're trying to form even next year with Dream Big Revivances, is get people dreaming,
That's awesome.
Because when you get in a dream company, you start seeing things happen. It just gets all over you and you see, well, all things are possible. When Ron and I were younger, much younger, in fact, I think it was in 1979, we had a dream. We'd gone over to YWAM and visited, to Hawaii, and visited YWAM. And we had a desire to go over there with our young boys and, and do a DTS. But it was very expensive a family of four. And we wondered, well, how would we do this? So what I did is I said, Ron, if you really feel that this is the way we're to go, I believe God will do it. And he said, well, I don't know how that'll happen. We don't have the money for that. And I said, but God has the money. And he was a brand new Christian at the time. So what we did is we took the photographs that we had from our trip and put them up on the fridge. And I put the scripture out of Psalms, delight in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart.
Awesome. That's what I got turned here right now. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret yourselves because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Now, verse 4 is what you just quoted. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the
desires of your heart.
That's right.
And so we put that right up on our fridge, and every day I'd look at it, I'd look at the pictures, I say, Lord, you said in your word that you're going to give us the desires of our heart. So we just put our face like flint towards that dream. And do you know that within 9 months, we were in Hawaii with our children, and our whole life changed.
That's great.
Now, we're going to minister prophetically into your life right now. Because sometimes just one revelation can break something open for you. But you've got to know that all things are possible. Come on. You are going to be fruitful and multiply. And if you're in the second half of life right now, well, I tell you, you are in the better half of life. Don't be sad over anything that didn't work out the first half or for anything that was a shortfall in the first half. This is a brand new day. And if you're a young person, oh my, you have your whole life ahead of you. And you can get on a roll where you just keep moving forward all the time into new realms of blessing and authority. Because I'll tell you, it works like a snowball effect. It's just like you start having a success and it'll pull onto it the next one. And then the next one, before you know it, your whole life is filled with fruitfulness. But I see a person right now, and you are a school teacher, and you actually had a nervous breakdown, and you're off on some kind of a leave right now because of the pressures in your own life, plus in the workplace got too much for you. And you're thinking, I've been a failure, and self-condemnation has gotten on you, and you just feel like you've been spinning wheels, and you think, have I made a difference to anyone? And I just see all kinds of frustration around you, unfulfilled dreams, and you've got debt, and you haven't been able to get ahead financially, and you are in a negative pit right now. You know I'm talking to you. But the Lord says if you'll just get hold of Him, you can dream your way out of this pit, and you can shut down all those negative thoughts right now. Just shut off all those negative thoughts and take on thoughts of faith, thoughts of potential. Start dreaming. I mean, you're off work anyways, right? And so just sit back and start dreaming of what can happen for the rest of your life. And if you don't have a dream on the inside of you, just ask God to put them in. If you feel empty on the inside, just ask God right now to put those dreams on the inside of you. Let the vision come. Let it bubble up. And when it does, start writing it down. I like even drawing little pictures in my journal of what it might look like and getting scriptures about it, writing them down and meditating on them and letting the dream grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And when the obstacles come to the dream being fulfilled, just fight those obstacles back. Just fight them. Say, I can do it. And don't let the enemy rob you of your dream. Amen. That word is for a specific person right now. Your life is going to change from this time forward.
Absolutely. You know, I write these things down, you know. Now, I might scribble a little bit here and a little bit there, you know. But, man, I write down these. And so it doesn't have to be like you go to sleep and you have a dream. When we're talking about dreaming big, we're talking about plans, achievements, destiny, purpose, and pursuit. Because the book of Philippians talks about having, forgetting what lies behind. About the condition that needs to be met.
Come on.
Forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to the upward call that is in Christ Jesus. I just want to challenge all of you out there right now, forget what lies behind. Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget what lies behind and press forward into the upward call, which is in Christ Jesus for your life. Hey, I keep seeing this vision, and it's this young boy. You're actually an African-American young man, you are enormously talented, and you have got this dream on your inside, but you just feel aimless and wanderless on the inside. Now, you have actually had an experience with God. You really, in one way, already know Him, and I want you to know this. God loves you. But here's something you need right now, and this is for this specific young man. You might be in Detroit, Michigan. You might be in the Bronx or Brooklyn, New York City. You could be anywhere, but I see a specific. You're around 13 to 14 years old. But then this gets general for all of us, because I feel something in an authority right now to do. Here's part of what you're wanting and you're lacking: the Father's blessing. I release from one generation to the next, into a generation that has seemed fatherless, wandering, and at times aimless. Yes, it can happen through the media. I feel it actually upon my very hands right now, and it is alive in my heart. I release to you right now, receive the Father's blessing. Receive a Father's blessing in the Spirit. As like an apostolic prophet in this generation, I say, you shall be blessed when you sit down. You shall be blessed when you lie down. You shall be blessed because you're going to have a vision, and you are going to run with your vision. You are not fatherless. Jesus has a purpose, and he is going to introduce you to the fatherhood of God. Receive the Father's blessing in Jesus' name.
Hi, Patricia King here, along with James Gall on Extreme Prophetic. We're excited about today's topic because it's basically and specifically for those in the second half of life. Although, if you're not quite there yet, we'll allow you to view the program. We're just going to give a few little secrets for those in the second half of life. Are you in the second half of life?
I don't know. Do I qualify or not? I'm in the second two-thirds. No, I don't know what I'm in.
Well, I think I'm in the second, at least I hope I'm in the second half of life, because otherwise I'm going to live a long,
yeah,
long
but
time.
Yeah, but I'm planning on living to be about 110, so you know.
Okay, even at that, I'm beyond that now.
Well, I'm getting close. Okay, all right, you win.
You're on the second half of life, I tell you. James, it's so fun to work with you.
You win, Patricia.
Anyways, I have a passion to see my generation just move into the fullness of everything God has for them.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've begun to see anything yet. I remember when our sons left home and they'd finished school, and Ron and I were sitting there like, okay, now what, you know? And we sat down with the Lord and just made fresh goals. And we fulfilled all those in just a few years.
Wow.
And it's been so amazing. And the last 15 years has been beyond anything else. I mean, we accomplished more even in the last 8 or 9 years than in all the rest of our life. So what's it going to be like 9 or 10 years from now?
And living in the days of acceleration that we do today,
so exciting.
All the more is that true for this generation.
Just think of what you've done in the last few years.
Just 10 years.
Yeah, it's way beyond. Like in this last number of years, I became an author.
That's right.
A television host, producer.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I never did any of those things before.
That's right.
You know, and what's up? What's for the next?
Let's see, a rebel rousal or something like that.
No. Am I? I'm a revolutionary.
That's it.
I'm a love illusionary.
That's it.
I'm starting
a
love illusion.
You're a general in the love war.
Come on. I want to start a love illusion.
That's right.
I'm committing the rest of my life
to that. I'm not asking you how old you are either.
Oh, well, I was born in 1951, but
I
you got to figure out
far.
The math. Anyways, in Joshua 14, this is a scripture that I just love. The whole chapter is awesome. But Caleb makes a point. He says, I was like 40 years old
really?
When I went and spied out this promised land. And now, today, I'm 85. So this was on his 85th birthday.
Come on.
And this is what he says, though. I love it. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me.
That's
as my
awesome.
Strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in.
Come on.
I love
slam
it.
Slam dunk, as my buddy Mickey Robinson and I say, cha-ching. Come on, dude.
Come
I
on.
Like it. I resemble that one.
I know. And then he says, now then, give me this hill country
give
about
me
which
this mountain.
The Lord spoke on that day. For
that's
you
right.
heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps
yes.
the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has
Come
spoken.
On. That's
so
right.
he stood on an unfulfilled
Absolutely.
Promise.
Absolutely.
He had been promised that mountain.
That's
he had been
right.
promised it, but it hadn't been released yet.
That's right.
So at 85 years
Come
of
on,
age,
he rose
he's
up.
Not saying, oh man, I had a prophetic word, you know, 40 years
and
ago.
I missed my
it didn't come to pass.
Day.
What am I gonna do? You know,
the next generation is the
you know, yeah,
and
the
I
young...
just gotta be in the observer stand yeah. and watch them go.
No, I miss
you
my
know
hour.
What? I got a word for all of that. Fooey balooey.
Exactly. I just love this guy. He says, okay,
Come
I'm
going
to make my case. I'm going to stand before the, you know, court of justice here, and I want you to know I'm as strong today as I ever was. You can test it. I'm 85 years of age, and 40 years ago I was this strong, but now I'm this strong, and I want my mountain.
And
now.
I'm taking my
yeah,
mountain.
I want my mountain. You I've know, waited long enough. It's mine.
I've got some actually kind of like grandfather-like figures that's in my life, and most of them are 78 years old right now. Dr. Don Finto in Nashville, and his ministry is called The Caleb Company.
I
Papa
love it.
Bob Jones, right at
Come
78
on.
Years old, and is here and going to be here till he see his dream
yeah.
of 1 billion souls, specifically youth, coming into the kingdom. I'm around C. Peter Wagner, who is like intelligent off the chart, but childlike in
yeah.
heart. I mean, intelligent like way, but childlike
yeah.
in heart. And I have the privilege of being around some of these Joshua, Caleb, Moseses in this generation. And I look at them and I say, dude.
I tell you, we have so much potential. Do you know that in the first half of life, we spend all that time learning wisdom?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Through all of our mistakes,
true,
our mishaps,
yes.
because we enter
right.
zones that we've never been in before, like, for instance, being, you know, a wife or a husband.
Sure.
You know, when you enter into that, you know you've never been there or done that
yeah.
before, so you have to learn things.
Absolutely.
And then when you become a parent, you have to
yep.
learn things. And in your career, in the workplace,
That's
you have
true.
To learn things. And some of the lessons are easy, and others of them are challenging.
Yep.
But when you learn them, you gain this wisdom on the inside.
Oh, my gosh,
so that by
I love
the time
it.
You get into the second half of life, hey, you know, you don't have to go through a lot of those same struggles again because, you know, you're smarter.
Yeah, and then you can pass them on to the next generation. One of these days, I maybe it's a book, maybe it's a series, maybe it's a gathering, I don't know. I want to do something called Lessons from the Woodshed.
Yeah, come on. I could write a few chapters.
Yeah,
in that
I think
book.
I could collect a few veterans and we could all cooperate on that one.
But I see for our generation,
yeah.
I see a vision. God gave me a vision for our generation. And I tell you, it'll be a Joshua Caleb
That's
generation.
Great.
Like, even think about this. Abraham was in his 70s when he began to follow God.
Wow.
He was 100 when he fulfilled his first prophetic promise.
That's bizarre.
And this is the father of our faith.
That's amazing.
And it was even when he had lost all of his physical
yeah,
abilities
sure.
to be able to be fruitful.
In the natural.
That's in the
right.
natural. And he says that you're too old, you know.
Wow.
But you're never too old with God,
Come
right?
Come on, that's
Come
right.
Come on. And then even after he, I mean, he loved Sarah so much and
oh, absolutely.
And had Isaac.
Yes.
And then other children.
When Sarah dies.
And when Sarah dies, he doesn't say, okay,
finish,
that's it. He just goes on, man.
Yeah, really?
And he marries again and has more children.
Oh, my gosh. Excuse me. Hello. I got a male part on this one. Because when Abram got fixed that first time, the dude stayed fixed and marries Keturah and has 6 sons. So guess what? The best is yet to come.
Yeah, come on. Supernatural.
Absolutely.
You have everything supernatural, rejuvenation.
Come on, that's right.
You know, there's so much about that now. Like, people are going in and they're trying to get their wrinkles removed
yeah.
by surgery. And,
sure.
you know, they're, you know, doing things
Botox,
to get.
Detox.
Yeah, and all kinds of different helps to,
yeah.
you know, bring back the youthfulness
sure.
and the vigor. But if we would turn to God, he'll
Amen.
Do that to us. And
sure.
I'm not saying any of those things
no,
are wrong,
yeah, me
you know,
either.
But I'm just saying that there's a potential for us in God that is so amazing.
And Isaiah talks about this. Those who wait upon the Lord, they will do what?
They'll do exploits.
And they will renew
their
strength.
They will renew their strength and they'll do exploits.
They will mount up like wings with the eagles. Mm-hmm. They will run and not get weary, and
they'll
they will
walk and
not
faint.
Come on.
We can run a race all the way to the very end, all the way to the finish, without shrinking back. And you know,
that's right.
The enemy has put a lie inside of our culture that says, okay, you get to age 55 and, you know, you got to just kind of lay back, take it easy, think about retirement.
Get your rocking chair out.
Downsize.
Yeah.
Streamline.
Sure.
Don't make fresh investments. He's scared
don't
of us because...
start a new apostolic network.
Come on, because if we do, we'll be sorry because we're so old.
Right.
What a lie.
It
this
is
the
lie.
Time when we should be starting afresh.
That's right. It's the time to invest.
Abraham.
It really is.
Abraham, he was rich in all things, the scripture says,
wow,
at the end of his life.
That's awesome.
That means this. He never wound down.
Mm-hmm. He wound up.
He kept
up.
Producing.
He wound up.
He wound up. He was a big wind up.
Hey, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is found in Philippians, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, and it says this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began
a good work in you
will perfect
Amen.
It until the day of Christ Jesus." So I got a word for some of you out here watching right now. God's not done. He's not finished with you yet. You are his workmanship. Yeah, maybe a chapter of life is getting over. Glory to God. Guess what that means? Just interpret it a little different. It means there's a new chapter opening up.
Yeah, come on.
For freshness to be written right upon. Because I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, he will perfect it, complete it in Christ Jesus.
I love this scripture that says that we go from glory to glory.
Yeah.
And in the Amplified, it says from one degree of glory to another. And that's
awesome.
For the glory years, right?
Come on.
The glory years are the second half of life. I claim
I love
that
it.
In Jesus' name.
I
and we're
going
to have, I tell you, it's, you know, I just am so excited to be in the second half of life. I tell the
that's
younger
great.
Guys, you know, one day you'll get here, but you got to be patient. You got to be patient. You know, you'll get here eventually, but, you know it's hard to wait, but.
You know what I tell them? I said, you guys are going to have to run fast. Because this old guy is catching his third wind,
and
I'm going to outrun you all.
That's right. In fact, I think a lot of times we do. I find sometimes if I've got young people on an outreach
that's
or
right.
something with me, I can usually, I have greater stamina sometimes than the young people
true.
Do. And that's because I've had kids.
And they invigorate me, too.
Exactly. Yeah. I love the younger generation.
Absolutely.
They just put a fresh fire in my bones, and I'm so proud of them. I mean, we've got a great
you
company of young people
Absolutely.
Rising up.
That's right. We all
I
do.
Mean, you just look at them worldwide in every nation. There's
that's
this
right.
passionate group of the younger generation who love the Lord and who are willing to just go out and live for Christ
that's
and die
right.
for Christ and do exploits in his name. It's wonderful.
It's great.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. But, you know, while we're on a break, you might as well just start dreaming big. Hi, well, we're back again, and in this portion of the program, we want to share with you some prophetic insights on what God is doing with this generation. We want to give you a little bit of glimpse as to how God sees us in this hour and what he wants us to launch into and what he wants us to receive from him. So,
that's
James,
right.
I know that we both have things on our heart that God's
sure.
shown us, and one of the things that the Lord has shown me is that there's going to be an acceleration of miracles
wow.
in the area of rejuvenation and replenishment
mm-hmm.
Of like even body parts and
come
that
on.
where things have withered or
that's right.
or you know maybe even are missing, that there's going to be miracles of creative miracles
absolutely.
That will reproduce those things in a person's body.
Amen.
And even for wrinkle removal, yeah. You know, recently in meetings, we've been seeing testimonies of a lot of that. In fact, in Jason Westerfield's meeting one time,
wow.
God removed all the wrinkles off of a person's hand.
Really?
And it's on film.
Oh,
you can see
awesome.
It. And this hand, he left with the wrinkles in,
wow.
and this one, he took them off just so that you could see the difference.
Oh, that's amazing.
But I believe that there's going to be a lot of that rejuvenation of even skin.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm one who likes wrinkles. Actually,
yeah.
Mother Teresa is one of my
yeah, sure.
heroes of the
oh,
faith.
Yeah.
And I love looking at those
right.
wrinkles. But I mean, there's some that don't like them as much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if they have faith, I think God's going to remove them. He's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. So we're going to see blemish removal, wrinkle removal, rejuvenation. And it's going to be a sign. Like Sarah was absolutely gorgeous in her 80s.
Come on.
And was desired by men.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you know, I don't think any of us necessarily want to be desired by men, but it's a sign that God can replenish
except
that
by,
beauty.
Except by Ron.
Yeah, exactly.
That's her husband, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, that is just so wonderful. You know, I think of like on that kind of situation, Gwen Shaw, at like, I don't remember for sure, maybe I'm wrong, 88 years old or something like that, the leader of the End Time Handmaidens. She's more regal and more glowing and more beautiful mm-hmm. every time I see her. Yeah. And goes around the world still
you.
Preaching the gospel on yeah. virtually every continent. It's yeah. amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I've had something that's been stewarded on the inside of me that deals with the joining of the generations to dream big.
Right.
Because in the book of Joel, and then it's quoted, you know, on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts in the second chapter, and it's about how the Holy Spirit will be poured out
on all flesh.
Now, just think about that.
Yeah, come on.
All flesh. That means old flesh,
yeah.
wrinkly flesh,
come
young
Holy Spirit.
Flesh, brown, black, green,
yeah.
white, yellow, whatever color you might be. Now, but then it says this. He says, in the last days I'll pour forth my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, old men
shall dream dreams,
and young men
shall have
visions. Now get this. Watch this joining of the generations
okay.
here. It takes a young man's vision to help fulfill an old man's dreams.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's the joining of the generations. And that's what's happening right now.
It is happening. There is a baton
yes.
that's being passed. Isn't
but
there?
It isn't just like we're like giving up. Or even some of those grandfathers and grandmothers in the faith today, they're not like saying, I'm over.
No,
it's the joining of the generations.
That's right.
And when God shows up for a sustained move of mm-hmm. God, he shows up as the God of three generations in a generation, the God of Abraham, Isaac
and
Jacob. And I tell you, I think that's part of where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got our Papa Bob Jones, who's still with us just as an example,
mm-hmm.
still with us today, brought back from death, who was given a vision to come back
right.
and anoint the leaders for the next generation, who in turn would lead 1 billion
souls
to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm living to see that one.
Oh, man, what a day we're living in. Now, another prophetic glimpse I've had for our generation, and I know that this will shock some, but there's going to be a lot of childbirth in the second half of life
Uh-oh.
Coming up. Well, it's not going to be because
oh
people wouldn't want it. It's going to
no,
be because
yeah.
they want it. And some
wow.
people who have actually been barren up
yes.
until now are going to give birth to a prophetic generation.
Well, I believe that.
Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah were in their older years
yeah, absolutely.
When they gave birth to the biggest prophetic movement, you know, that prepared for Christ ever in the history of God's people up to that time.
And you take, you know, so you're using Zechariah and Elizabeth. Well, let's back up to Abraham and Sarah,
yeah.
the father of faith,
yeah.
that generation, with this generation of John the Baptist coming
yeah.
forth,
mm-hmm.
the forerunner. Well, there's a forerunner anointing
mm-hmm.
being released in this generation.
Yes.
So I believe, too, supernatural healing of barrenness.
Yep.
And so, hey, there's some surprises coming.
Absolutely. And even Hannah, now, I don't know how old Hannah was
when
she gave birth to Samuel.
That's right.
All I know is that for a long, long time, she cried out
she
for children, and she was barren. But in the right time, she was impregnated with a prophetic company.
That's right.
Because Samuel was the beginning of the prophetic company.
That's right.
And there's something special. And, I mean, we've got friends of ours that have been married for many years.
Yeah.
I mean, they were childhood sweethearts. They got married at 18 and 21. And they've been married for over 22 years now. And they've just found out recently that they're pregnant. And we're so excited about that. But I believe that our generation, those in the second half of life, are giving birth or will be giving birth sometimes to natural children will be very specially marked by God.
That's
just like the Samuels and and Isaac and John the Baptist. It'll be something very special. But also, there's going to be a birthing of ministries through the second, those in the second half of life. Now, I think of Peter Wagner. He was 70, I think, when he birthed the whole Wagner Institute.
Oh yeah, you know? Something like that.
I mean, he just thought, okay, I'm just going to go for this,
and he's
he
not
stepped
stopping.
Out. No, he just is
and
creating
now
networks.
Now he's
and
birthing what he believes to be his highest level of calling, which is something like apostolic distribution for philanthropic purposes.
I just love
which is the whole issue of the transfer, creation and transfer
of wealth.
And he's setting up worldwide systems, acknowledging apostles around the world that as the funds come in, they can be released to the field marshals out. And it's like, wow, can I be a part of that?
I know, it's so exciting.
It is exciting.
So it's a birthing, isn't it?
It is.
It's a birthing of ministries, and there's going to be a birthing of businesses as well.
That's right.
There's many in our generation who think they're finished.
That's right.
And the world would say, well, it's your retirement time because you've done this much. And then they've got this nest egg that they're hoping to live on for the rest of their life, not realizing that God is going to call them to invest that and to birth a whole new realm.
Yes.
And the grace is going to come. It won't be something like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. No, no.
Oh,
it'll be a dream that'll be put inside of them for it. And the faith for the fulfillment of that dream will be in that. But I'm prophesying it right now that we're going to be see some of the biggest releases businesses and in corporations in some of the hardest economic times. This generation is going to rise up with some surprise things, even the knowledge of witty inventions that are going to be marketed on a massive global level that are going to surprise many. It's going to be from our generation that's going to do it.
You know, this might seem small, but it really isn't to the person who has the dream of it. Man, I'm just picking up God's heart, God's burden right now for a group of people who are advanced in age and always wanted to go to the Holy Land, and they never made it. This just like gets to me because I see it right now. But God wants them to know they can still go do it.
Yeah.
They can still go have their dream. They can still go walk on the land where Jesus walked. God wants them to. They've even dreamed about getting baptized in the Jordan River. And God says, go do it. You can have your dream. God wants them to go stand on the Mount of Olives and be part of those worshipful intercessors who prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Dream big. Don't give up. Dream big. Oh, I put the jumper cables on my own heart.
Come on, dream big.
Dream big. Hey, I keep seeing this vision, and it's this young boy. You're actually an African-American young man. Man, you are enormously talented, and you have got this dream on your inside, but you just feel aimless and wanderless on the inside. Now, you have actually had an experience with God. You really, in one way, already know Him. And I want you to know this, God loves you. But here's something you need right now, and this is for this specific young man. You might be in Detroit, Michigan. You might be in the Bronx or Brooklyn, New York City. You could be anywhere, but I see a specific. You're around 13 to 14 years old. But then this gets general for all of us, because I feel something in an authority right now to do. Here's part of what you're wanting and you're lacking: the Father's blessing. I release from one generation to the next, into a generation that has seemed fatherless, wandering, and at times aimless. Yes, it can happen through the media. I feel it actually upon my very hands right now, and it is alive in my heart. I release to you right now, receive the Father's blessing. Receive a Father's blessing in the Spirit. As like an apostolic prophet in this generation, I say, you shall be blessed when you sit down. You shall be blessed when you lie down. You shall be blessed because you're going to have a vision, and you are going to run with your vision. You are not fatherless. Jesus has a purpose, and he is going to introduce you to the fatherhood of God. Receive the Father's blessing in Jesus' name.
You know, our dreams, they come from God. They're born from God. And maybe you're watching today and you've never had a personal relationship with your Creator. Maybe you're watching today and you've never heard the gospel and didn't know that Jesus Christ could come into your heart and give you a brand new life and give you dreams, wash away the guilt and the shame of the past, and make you a brand new creation in him. But you're watching this program and you feel a stirring, and you look back at your life and you think, well, you know, everything looks kind of empty. Everything looks kind of bad. Maybe I should step into something fresh. Well, Jesus Christ is knocking on the door of your heart right now. And he's saying that if you will just invite him in, he can come in and clean up all the past, wash it away with the power of his forgiveness, and truly give you a brand new life that is filled with potential, that is filled with dreams, that is filled with his goodness. And so I want to invite you right now to just open up your heart to him. Give him your heart. Say, Jesus, I understand that you are knocking on the door of my heart. Would you come in and make me the person that you want me to be? Would you come into my heart and paint new dreams and visions on the inside of me and empower me to do your will? Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, has knocked on your heart today. When you accept him as your Savior, he writes your name in the book of life, and you're registered there for eternity. Dream big.
Hey, I remember a story one time when I was at a meeting in Kansas City at the World Congress on Evangelism. And there was this old, feeble man who was sitting behind a table at a workshop. And I don't know if anybody had a clue who this man really was, but I had read his books. His name was Paul Bilheimer. And it was one of my goals. I wanted to meet this man. He wrote the books Don't Waste Your Sorrow and Destined for the Throne and things like this. Everybody left the workshop. He was still sitting there, and I came up to him, and I had one question to ask him. And I said, Brother Paul, I said, how old were you when you went into full-time ministry? And he kind of chuckled, looked at me, and he said, oh, he said something like, I'm like 92 years old now, and I didn't start in full-time ministry till I was 65 years old. And he just kind of laughed, because he'd been actually a plumber, retired from secular employment, and when he retired, he went into full-time ministry. I want to say to you out there, it's never too late to dream big.
That's right. It is never too late to dream big. And we want you to be inspired through everything that's been shared today. We want you to rise up into your full potential And while you do that, remember this. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. You have a good week, and we'll see you next time.